We're going to start with a nice word on Parshas Emor. In the Imre Shefer, on the Pusik, Ibas Ish Koyen Ki Saich Liznus, Suviu Hime Chalelus, he says there are two types of Rishuim, two types of people that are doing bad things. There are those that are doing bad things because that's how they were brought up, and it's coming from their parents, and it's inborn and inherent, the bad tendencies or behaviors. And there are those that, you know, slowly shifted away from what's good, and they did it on their own. The difference is that when a person is doing something bad because he himself, you know, got into the bad habit and he's at fault, usually you'll notice that it happens gradually. It happens slowly. One day he does something wrong, next day another thing wrong, something worse, something more severe. Yetzirah slowly takes a person for a ride. He can't all of a sudden come to a person and say, you know, today you should do the worst aveira, or today you should be mechal Shabbos. You know, the person's not used to such a thing. And that's when you'll notice that the decline, the spiritual decline, is more gradual. As opposed to somebody who has inherent tendencies to do bad, and he was brought up like that, and it's coming from his parents or from his grandparents or whatever, from before, you'll notice that the person right away is doing bad things, you know, bigger, worse things right away, because it makes sense for them, so to speak. So he says the Torah is saying, "You bas ish koyin ki seichel iznus." When you notice that somebody is doing ki seichel, they start off with something this terrible, ki seichel iznus, then you know it's a viu himachaledas. It's a sign that there's something wrong with the parents. If somebody could do something this bad right away. If somebody gets there slowly, you know, that's more a sign that it's a harder working overtime trying to get that person to do things, but it definitely takes time. So obviously this is something that Chaz v'Shalom parents shouldn't get too self-critical, but it's food for thought that sometimes parents do have a bigger influence on children than we think. But what I wanted to take out of this was something, was the opposite message. And that is that the Yetzirah, when trying to get someone to do the bad thing, get someone to do the wrong thing, he has to work slowly. If the Yetzirah tries to get someone to do something wrong right away, a big avaira or something that's terrible, it doesn't work. The Yetzirah knows that. He doesn't expect someone to do something that's over the charts and just either not appropriate for this person or something they'll be ashamed of or something not used to. It takes time. And we have to learn from that Yetzirah. When we want to do things that are good, especially when we want to get our children to do things that are good, right? Talking about children over here, we have to know we also have to go slowly and gradually. We can't expect children to all of a sudden snap into a certain good behavior and get it all right. You know, it takes time. If the Yetzirah has patience, then we also have to have patience. And if he has patience to get people to do the wrong thing, and he waits over time until they get accustomed to it and used to it and comfortable with it, then we have to do the same thing when it comes to anything good. So let me just read a letter. Shalom, Harav Gruen. Thank you very much for your time and dedication on enlightening us with Torah's emes on chinuch habanim and relationships. We would really appreciate guidance on the following matter. Baruch Hashem, my husband and I have a bunch of lively, energetic children. Both my husband and I are by nature very orderly people, and we really like and need seder in the house. I find myself, though, constantly needing to clean up after my children. An ongoing issue in our home is trying to get our children to clean up after themselves, to put wrappers in the garbage, not to leave clothes and shoes lying around, not to leave toys, to clean up after themselves, but for some reason they're not getting the message fully. We still need to constantly remind them to put things away every day. It is something that we constantly need to be telling them to do, and often it becomes a source of frustration for us, specifically for my husband, who just doesn't understand why they don't just get it. How much should we expect our children to clean up after themselves? It is much easier for me to do it myself, being that it's also emotionally and mentally draining to constantly be telling them to clean up whatever they left behind, and I feel that it's not proper chinuch, because maybe they will grow up not learning to clean up after themselves, which is lack of derech eretz. It's just that every night after they're in bed, the house looks like one huge mess, and takes me a while to clean up. Is it supposed to be like this? How can we help ourselves and our children? At what age should we start teaching our children to clean up after themselves? If we ask them to clean up and they don't want to, should we enforce it? We look forward to your response. Thank you very much. Okay. So, you know, sometimes we discuss things that are a little more intense. And some people may look at a question like this, okay, cleaning up toys, a mess, you know, trivial, small stuff, not a real big issue. But every issue is an issue. And I do believe that very, very many people could relate to this question. And I'm sure a lot of people would want to get some tips or ideas about how to get children to understand it and develop sensitivity, you know, toward cleanliness and seder and discipline and things like that. So, I think the first thing that is important to acknowledge is that at the end of the day, kids will be kids, and it's normal for children not to want to clean up or to appreciate cleaning up or to care about how clean things are and things like that. And we have to thank Hashem for the small, regular challenges in life. they could be frustrating, but this is definitely normal, not off the charts, nothing terrible, and it's just important to understand that. Another thing in general that it always, whenever it comes to chinuch, I think it took me a while to realize this myself, also a parent, is that as much as it's the parents that are entrusted with the chinuch habunim, as much as it's parents and adults that are here to parent children and help them grow, at the end of the day, we're much older than the children we're parenting. Every parent is at least 20 years older than the one that he's parenting, which automatically, it puts you at a disadvantage. As much as you try to lower yourself and be sensitive to a child's feelings and understand the child and whatever else, at the end of the day, you're doing that when you're 20 years older already. There's only so much you can really relate to it. And the other way around as well. There's only so much that your child could relate to what's important to you or what you believe is the right thing to do. All the idealism and all the principles and all the things that we feel are qualities and important and whatever, children just don't get it. So you have two people on two totally different levels trying to relate to each other. A parent who figured out over time and developed sensitivity towards what's really important in life. A child who has no idea what any of that really means. And they're trying to communicate. Now that's the way it's supposed to be. And the parents are the one that's supposed to be teaching the children. I'm just pointing out that as much as we try to be understanding and be tolerant and adapt to whatever it is that children will understand, we're still doing it with adult perspective. So it's just something to think about and remember that as you're getting frustrated, why don't kids just get it already? And when will they realize? And it's not the recheretz, and it's not the, you know, it's not a good thing to just leave in place a mess. And you should want things to be in order. That's something that took you a lot of time to realize, and getting frustrated over the fact that they didn't get it yet is usually not the right thing to do, and it's just going to work against you because you're expecting something that you probably won't be able to achieve. To have them develop even something similar to the sensitivity that you have or the importance that this topic has to you. That's first of all. Obviously, it's also hard for a person to get out of their own perspective. As much as we try, as much as we want to acknowledge that, you know, maybe I'm like this, maybe I'm not like this, maybe it's my thing. At the end of the day, we still believe our own narrative, and most people believe that the way they do things and the way they feel about things is correct and normal and within bounds and to be expected. And at the end of the day, it doesn't always work like that, especially when you have young children. In other words, by the time you're that much older and they're that much younger and they're anyway not on the same page as you, it's already much harder to determine, okay, so which part of what I'm asking for is appropriate and reasonable, which part could I expect that at least over time will happen, and which part maybe I'm actually being unreasonable. I'm only saying this not because of this questioner, but I know that some parents who are somewhat obsessive about cleanliness, let's call it, right, without using the term OCD, there are people that are a bit obsessive about it, or neat freaks, let's call it, or they have a special feeling, just to make it sound more politically correct. Nothing obsessive or terrible, but they're cleaner than most people their age, and they care more about it than most people on the block. So it's very hard to determine, okay, so which part of this is a little out of bounds on my own obsession and my own, you know, ideas and feelings, which I'm entitled to, but that's not even something I should be asking of my children. It's not even something I should be expecting of them at all. So it just gets very difficult to really, you know, figure out what's normal, what's not normal. And then to have the patience to develop what is normal and still understand it. You got to be patient for that too. Especially when you're talking about a bunch of children. I mean, it wasn't clear from the letter the ages of the children. So I have no idea if we're talking about ages 1 through 6 or 2 through 18. My point just being that taking age into account as well. You know, this is something that over time definitely has to be understood properly. And it helps us tolerate and be less frustrated when we take more into account what's normal and what's to be expected. I'll add just another point in the same idea over here, and that is that very often we actually even get the results that we want. Let's say we figured out a way to get children motivated and they clean up and they'll do what I want them to do. They'll put away their shoes and they'll make their bed and we worked with a chart or whatever worked. And some people are still bothered by the fact that, but I know, so I got him to do it, but why doesn't he want it? Why doesn't he care for it? How come when there's no incentive he doesn't do it? Or how come when I don't remind him, what? How come when he doesn't have to, he doesn't do it? Why does he only do what he has to? That's an old problem that people fall into the rut of wanting the other person to want what they want. And this is something that husbands and wives have between themselves as well. It's not a children issue. I want my child to want to be clean and organized. No, he is clean and organized, but he doesn't care for it. He just does it for me. Very often, especially with children who didn't yet develop a feeling for it, but very often people have different standards and they care for different things, and adults are like that as well. There are some people that care more about how clean something is and some people care less. So to be frustrated by the fact that somebody's not developing a feeling for what's important to you, that's something to avoid. Recently I was talking to an older bocher, actually, quite an older bocher, who, as long as he was home, he tells me, he was making his bed and putting away his socks and doing the things that his mother told him to do. And he never did it because he cared for it. He was always doing it because that's what his mother wanted, and she would get frustrated when he didn't do it. Once in a while she had to remind him, but essentially he didn't care for it. And he went away to learn somewhere, and now he has his own apartment, with another boy or two, he's basically on his own. And he tells me, now I care. I'm doing it not just because I was taught to do it. It bothers me that my apartment shouldn't be clean. Now, it's interesting that on the one hand, it took him time to develop a feeling for it, and only when he's 20 plus did he even care for it. Another thing is that till now, he was a guest in her house, and he didn't care how clean her house was. And now it's his own apartment, and he cares. My point is just that sometimes it takes time for people to develop feelings. Sometimes people never develop them. I think the goal of parents when it comes to this kind of issue is more get practical, figure out what works, teach your children to be disciplined and to listen and to do what's right, and don't get stuck on if they care for it or do it on their own or think like you and all that. I mean, that's a big mistake that people make, and it adds to the frustration. Now, on a practical level, because you are frustrated by not having the right results, so this is an idea that I think I spoke about a few times already. On the one hand, when somebody sees they're doing something and it's not working, it's time to stop doing it. It's a shame when people do the same thing again and again and it's not working. So You tell your child to do something, it doesn't work. You tell them again, it doesn't work. You scream at it, doesn't work. So what, some people, they just keep on screaming louder and louder because they're getting so frustrated. And the justification for screaming so loud is, well, I shouldn't scream. You know how many times I told them already? Instead of thinking, well, if I told them so many times it didn't work, maybe I should come up with something else. So on one hand, it's always important to assess if whatever you're doing is working or not. On the other hand, when it comes to parenting, when it comes to chinuch, when it comes to a message that takes time to go over, it's fine to keep on repeating yourself. Sometimes people get frustrated and they decide, I won't say it again. I'm not going to remind my son to bench because he never remembers when I don't tell him, so I'm going to keep reminding him. No, it takes time to go into a child's head and get used to something he's not used to. There are times that you'll tell a child to do something 10 times until he actually does it, and he still didn't do it, and he still has to be told to do it. I think a lot of the determining factor when to repeat yourself and when not is what's your motive. If you're saying something because you want to teach a child, then you can say it again and again and again, and hopefully over time, he'll hear it enough times, and he'll accept it. Children have to be told many times when they're young, don't fight, don't call names, don't push, don't, right? If you're going to get frustrated with the fact that I already told him 17 times not to fight with his siblings and he's still doing it, then why are you getting frustrated? It's a chinuch message, and you can repeat it 1,000 times until slowly that's what chinuch is about. The fact that an adult grew up in a healthy way and he came out being a mensch is because he heard many times when he was young what the right thing to do is, and took time, and slowly he got the healthy message. And you see sometimes children that came from an unstable or unhealthy home and they weren't told what to do, and you can see it. You can see it. They didn't develop the simple manners and the simple understanding of what's right and wrong. So as long as you're repeating yourself many times, even without it working, because you know that this is the way I'm teaching them, I want to keep on saying it so that they don't think it's okay, they don't forget, and they get used to hearing it, that's fine. And usually when you do it with that intention, you don't get so frustrated. I know it takes time. I know my child's young, and I'm the adult over here, and I'm the one that has to be mechanech. I'll keep on repeating it until he understands it. But if you're saying it because you want it to happen already, and you're getting frustrated why it didn't happen yet, and you're expecting the fact that you said something to all of a sudden do the magic, and it's not working, then stop doing that. So I think it's okay to keep on reminding children to put away things, and I don't think you should get frustrated. I think it's normal to have to keep on reminding them. I don't think children on their own, at least many children, certainly not the ones that you're describing, have a feeling for it. And I think it's okay to remind them. And if they do it when you remind them, first of all, that's fine. It's fine if they have to be reminded. To get emotionally worked up and frustrated and then vent and show them that you're upset, it doesn't make anyone feel good. And sometimes you just get personal and you start hurting their feelings and doesn't accomplish what you want. So I think that's also an important part of this. To not repeat yourself with confidence in a calm way and say, please clean the toys, please take care of your laundry. Just very technical. Another thing which I noticed between the words over here was the fact that you might be enabling this by letting them go to bed. Okay, everyone just get to bed and I'll do it myself. You end up cleaning it up yourself. And the next morning, everything's in the right place. Now, why should a kid put away his laundry or his toys if the next morning everything is Everything was just found where it should be, like Machaya. I mean, I don't think I would put anything away if everything was just done by itself, right? No, I don't think anyone would. I don't think you would either, for that matter. So I think it's important to know how to not allow things to happen and to be okay. Now, I know sometimes it's easier to just do it yourself. It's more frustrating, but it's still easier to just do it yourself and not be mechanech. But it's very similar to taking your child, taking a test for your child. He comes home with a test. Instead of sitting with him and reviewing it and making sure he knows it and getting a good mark, I'll just do it for you. Everyone understands that. That's not called parenting. You're not helping your child by doing his test for him. Right? He's growing up with being handicapped because you decided it's easier for you and less frustrating and less time-consuming and of course less energy than to help him understand it on his own. So I think it's very important that if the reason you're doing things for your child or instead of your child is because it's just easier, it might not be easier to parent, but obviously I think that's a big mistake. And very often, that's the reason why children aren't picking up on things, because it happens on their own. It's happening, everything's happening on its own. And sometimes when a mommy or a tati just sits on the side and lets things fly, and a child's like, hey, what happened here? How come it's such a mess? The answer will be, because I didn't play with the toy, so I didn't pick them up. Or where's my shoes? Where's my test paper? I don't know. Where'd you leave it? I don't know. So sometimes just allowing things to happen, sometimes, I know not always, it's not always easy, sometimes you don't want it to happen, but sometimes that is a natural consequence that lets people understand things. I once heard from a parent who had an issue with the children waiting by the table to be served, and there was things that they could have gotten on their own, and instead of the mommy asking the children, could you go please bring the soda, and this was, why do I have to bring it, that one has to bring it, I'm not in the mood, it became a whole thing. So it just became easier for the tati mommy just sit by the table. And the children asked, why is there no drinks on the table? I said, I guess nobody brought them. And the one who was thirsty got up and brought it. And it just became simpler, and things happened on their own. It wasn't a struggle anymore. It's not always the right way to be mechanech, but sometimes just not letting things happen on their own, not letting kids get used to the wrong thing, is what helps them. Sometimes actually talking about it and telling them what's going to happen is also a healthier way of doing things. Letting children know in advance, before it's relevant, not 9 o'clock when it's time to go to bed, or 5 to 9 when they just made a huge mess and have to quickly clean up and it becomes all hectic and 2 minutes of resistance and 3 minutes of tantrum and you're up to bedtime already. If you talk about it 2 or 3 hours earlier and you're clear about, again, no emotion, no drama, no frustration, nothing personal, I want to make sure that things are clean tonight. If we clean up tonight, then we can play with the toys tomorrow. If we don't clean up tonight, we can't play with the toys tomorrow. And then you walk away. It's not a struggle. It's not, this has to happen, doesn't have to happen. You could add an incentive as well. I always like balancing the incentive and the consequence, right? Don't just make it all about the punishment. No, if it is clean, then I'll take out the new toy that we didn't use yet. If it's not clean, I'm going to put away some toys and we won't be able to use them. Usually when children hear it in a confident way, in a calm moment, and it's very clear and very technical, very clear and very technical. Mommy says clearly, listen, if you're not going to put away toys, I'm going to put it away, but then tomorrow we can't play with them. And you might have to do it. And you shouldn't threaten with anything you're not going to do. But when you communicate these things in a healthy way, and it's all very natural, it's a very natural consequence. It's not that if you don't clean, I'm going to patch you. I'm not patching you. If you don't clean, we can't play with them. Toys are to be played with by children who can clean them. And any night that they are clean, we can play with them the next day. Just as an example, obviously. Or if you want me to prepare your clothing tomorrow morning, if you put away your clothing by night, you'll find a new clothing in the morning. And if not, you'll have to go look for your clothing. Or if you don't put your clothing in the washing machine, you might not have them. Now, I know some of these things, it might not be practical. Then it comes to going to school, they don't have the uniform, whatever. My point is just that, yeah, it's not always so easy, but if you lower the expectation and the frustration, and you're very clear and very technical, and you don't do it for them, very often they're gonna do things that you want them to do. Now, again, age appropriate. You can't expect a 6-year-old to do it just because you came up with a system. But I think that if you come up with a plan, it could work. It could be a chart, it could be anything, but you got to stick to it. How many times I hear from people, I made a chart, but whatever, we forgot to do it, this is part of parenting. You have to be on top of something. You could actually add an incentive. If you don't have to be on top of it, if I don't have to remind you, you get 2 points. Okay, so now it's less on you. But come up with something practical that could work. Every time we come up with things and we get excited about them and we fall away from them, that's what happens. Sometimes many people that don't get help is because they get used to something and it's not terrible anymore, and they just neglect it because it's half good and it's not terrible anymore, and then the roller coaster. So you got to be consistent and stick to it, and I do believe that it could be dealt with properly. Now, excuse me for picking up on what may have sounded, again, nothing personal, I don't know who you are, what may have sounded like a drop of a Shalom Bayis issue here with your husband getting frustrated that the children should be doing more and you wanted to do it on your own. And if not for the fact that just today I spoke to someone who mentioned such a thing, where husband and wife are having conflict over how much should we ask the kids to do. I want you to do it. I don't want you to do it. Why are you doing it yourself? Then you're frustrated at me for not getting the kids to do it. It takes nothing for a chinuch question like this to turn into a Shalom Bayis issue and a conflict of opinions and things like that. Whether it's a debate of who's right and wrong, or what's the right chinuch approach, which takes nothing for parents to get all swept up into and arguing about, or telling the other one that you're not parenting right, and then you know, why are you doing it this way? You should be doing it that way, and just bickering over how each was doing the wrong thing, or giving off your frustration to your husband for not helping you when he feels you should be getting the kids to help you and things like that. So often it's just easier to fight with or to argue with your spouse than your kids, because they're unreasonable kids and you know, they don't understand you, and for whatever reason, and you just vent the frustration that you have toward your children and your spouse. So if you make sure to stay away from all these mistakes of turning this into a debate or venting to the wrong people or getting frustrated at the wrong people, you know, I think you could definitely avoid a lot of new difficulty that doesn't have to happen, and it would be a shame if it did. So that's just some small ideas. I hope it was clear. I do want to add that very often with children in general, we tend to notice their shortcomings and we tend to focus on their shortcomings. We tend to reward only behaviors that we know are very hard for them that we're trying to get them to do. And all the good parts of them or the good things they do that are not what we're looking to change go unnoticed. And very often all kids hear is the emphasis on how much it has to be done and how much has to be better and how it's not good, etc. Sometimes you want to add the easy things for them so that it's easier for them to be rewarded and they feel good about being rewarded because it's anyway easy. So we're going to have a chart, and if the laundry is put away and the toys are put away and you you throw out your cups after you drank and things like that, and you kiss the mezuzah before you go to sleep, you got a prize. So you added something that was easy for them and they feel good. Or you add a compliment in general, not just complimenting the things that you know are very hard for them, but in general making children feel good about themselves very often helps you get the results you want. So I think just to recap the idea. First of all, yeah, Baruch Hashem, this is definitely normal children issues, and we have to acknowledge the fact that we're not children. That's why we're sensitive to these things. You have to have the patience and understanding that only when you repeat yourself many times do certain things happen. And if you get frustrated over it, then sometimes you're just slowing down the process. And you shouldn't enable these things to happen by feeding them and letting them happen. So it's important to stop and communicate, if you could, the natural consequence and incentive of getting it right, and stick to it with consistency. And when husband and wife, either they actually agree on it, or they're at least working together, and they're both consistent about it, I do think that children will pick up on it. And there's no reason to get frustrated about the fact that these things take some time. So I hope with Eibush Hashem that we learn from the Yetzer Hara. If the Yetzer Hara is patient to get us to do the wrong thing, I think we have to be patient as well with children to get them to do the right thing. It doesn't happen on its own. Children are not born taking care of themselves or putting things away. And with the right amount of patience and the right amount of healthy communication, seeing the good in them, making them feel good, we'll be able to see nachas mitzvah from all our children.